never filtered, always fun.
He told his wife, allegedly, that he was going to the store for cigarettes. Instead, he jumped on a bird to Russia and went to see Mexico play at the Confederations Cup. How do you not expect to come home with the house cleared out and divorce papers sitting on the table?
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press. J.P. Aaron Sebia will join us here in a moment. Former Blue Jay, current analyst for MLB on TuneIn. All-Star game early next week. Jays wrapping up their pre-All-Star game sked with three more against the Houston Astros.
This is approaching like the deadest time of the year.
That is why I'm off next week, Jonas.
Huh. Happy coincidence.
Yeah, this happens to be the final hour for me until, well, 2 weeks. I'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Isn't that the worst stretch as a sports fan? Like, there's nothing. I don't watch the All-Star game. I can't stand it. And so then there's like a couple days where there's nothing to watch.
Well, do you really hate it, or do you just do you not care about it? Like, are you apathetic or are you angry?
You're right. I'm apathetic. I don't care. I just have no interest in it.
No, me neither. I mean, I'll tune in. It's a spectacle, and I kind of want to see what happens out of it. And like you said, there's nothing else really going on.
But they've taken, like, and I thought this was the dumbest idea, but they've taken the World Series part about it out. So now it won't be deciding who has home field in the World Series. So, like, I don't know.
Well, it's the spectacle of seeing all the best players playing in the same game.
But that was cool back when there wasn't a package you could buy on your cable or whatever. I can watch any game I want, and I do. Like, that was, All-Star games were cool back in the day when you couldn't see players. Like, you didn't know who, you couldn't see Joe DiMaggio. You know what I mean? And now it just doesn't have any cachet for a fan,
Do you really watch every player? Like, it can be informative to an extent. I would assume there's going to be a lot of baseball fans that watch the All-Star game and realize that the starting first baseman for the American League is Justin Smoke. Like, if you're a diehard, you know that Smoke has had a great year.
Yeah.
He's had a great year. Great year. And his numbers would indicate that. He deserves to be an All-Star. Good for him. But if you're just a fair-weather fan or a regional fan, let's say you're in San Francisco, you track the Giants, the NL West, the National League to an extent, you don't watch 162 games. You That's get to fair. 4 or 5, you watch 30 or 40. Who's going to know that Justin Smoke even exists, let alone is having a great year and is at the All-Star game? And I think that gets back to what Gibbons had to say earlier about Osuna when he was asked about whether or not he would prefer if Osuna just took the time to rest and kind of gear up for the second half. And he said, no, I want to see him get there. I want to see him do it on the big stage. Let the rest of the world pay attention to Roberto Osuna. Because even though you said, listen, they were in the ALCS and people should know him, diehards know Osuna, but that's not a household name in baseball. Roberto Osuna is not a household name. So the All-Star game can help from that standpoint.
Do you watch like the other All-Star games?
I'm apathetic to the outcome, to the scoreboard, to a lot of the antics. But from a material standpoint, I guess, you know, I'll tune in. I don't feel like I have to. It's not a situation
not
where I feel like I have
anything.
To. No, I'm not going to miss anything. I'm not going to feel like I'm doing a disservice to the radio show or anything like that because I didn't tune in. If anything crazy happens, too, we're going to get the replay. Right, like Twitter will start buzzing and maybe I'll flip over.
I guess last year in the NBA was kind of cool because I didn't watch that much of it, but you had Durant playing with Westbrook, and I think there was one point, I'm trying to remember, I think Westbrook threw Durant an alley-oop or vice versa, and there was kind of like some chuckling on the sideline from the guys in the West. But other than that, like, I don't know. I've never been an All-Star person.
Yeah, I think it's for the kids. I think it's for whichever market is hosting it. You know, it would be cool to be in and around an All-Star game. Like when the Raptors, or I guess the the city of Toronto hosted the NBA All-Star Game a couple of years ago. That was pretty cool. I mean, I went to a couple of the events. It's good to be a part of it.
It was freezing. That's all people seem to notice.
Absolutely freezing at that time.
Yeah.
But it was cool to have it here. If it was anywhere else, would I care? Probably not. Let's bring in former Blue Jay, longtime MLBer. He's currently doing analysis work with MLB on TuneIn. He's been on the show a few times. Always good to have him back. Here is JP Arencibia. What's happening, JP?
Not much. You guys are talking about the cold. I'm out here in L.A. It's burning up out here, so I'm kind of like a little bit of that cold.
Oh, dude, it's warm up here, too, man. You don't have to worry about that. Like, in July, we can run with any city in North America in terms of heat for the most part, but it's that January, February, March territory where not so much.
Yeah, it gets a little tough to get outside.
Yeah, it can. We were talking about the All-Star game, and you know, Jonas and I are just fans, and we're pretty apathetic. We don't really care. It comes and goes. It's on the radar because baseball owns the summer, and they've got a monopoly. The NFL's not playing, NHL, NBA. But as fans, it's not something we really track or really care that much about. As a player, what did the All-Star game mean to you?
It meant that I could take a vacation somewhere. In the middle of the season. I mean, that's for me, that was, I mean, obviously you wanted to play, and if you don't get in, you shut it off, you completely shut it off. I don't know how many guys will tune in. I never really kind of watched. Only thing I kind of paid attention to was the Home Run Derby, which actually this is the most excited I've been about a Home Run Derby, because I just want to watch Judge and Stanton kind of see where balls are hit that don't usually get hit. So that's something I'm looking forward to. But usually, I mean, a lot of players, even guys that I have been talking to and asking them, hey, what's your plans for, the All-Star break? A lot of guys who don't make the team are headed to a three-day vacation. And then the guys that are playing, obviously, they're super pumped, and they'll get a little extra change in their pocket, a bonus, and they'll enjoy the All-Star game.
You mentioned the Home Run Derby and Aaron Judge being in it. Judge has quickly become maybe the most marketable player in the game. And I think the fact that he plays for the Yankees clearly is a big part of that. But this guy is 6'7", like 250, and is just crushing balls. I mean, the pace in which these balls are coming off his bat are like almost borderline unprecedented. And now, I mean, the buzz is that he could be or actually is in the lead in terms of the AL MVP race. How would you feel about that take? Aaron Judge being the guy that everyone else has to beat in the second half in order to win the AL MVP.
I would think that he deserves it as of right now. If you talk about somebody who, I mean, you look at the league leaders in most stats, I mean, he's up there. He is taking a team who really no one kind of, you know, everyone said, all right, this is rebuilding time and the Yankees, and, you know, we'll see what they can do to, you know, arguably talking about this team being a playoff contender. You know, they went on a little bit of a skid, but before that, they were, you know, up there in the top of the East. And so he is a special, special human being. And honestly, you know, the one thing for him is because of those exit velocities that are super, super high, his misses are still home runs. So where somebody can, you know, hit a ball and they hit it on the screws and let's say they're at 105, 110, you know, that's their best bolt. That gets out of the yard. When you're talking about a guy who's hitting it up close to the 120s, and he hits the ball, when he misses the ball, he's still hitting it in the 110, so the balls are still getting out of the yard. So that's what you're seeing the biggest difference is that he's further than most people's best hit ball. Another thing for me that's special about him is I've seen some clips of where he's hit balls in batting practice, and I would like to consider myself as a guy who had some juice. I could hit the ball out of the yard and hit it pretty far. Where this guy's hitting balls in batting practice, which is at a 65-mile-an-hour pitch clip, which makes it even tougher to hit it as far as he does. I mean, he's hitting balls where I've never seen hit before. So that's what, for me, is, like, super special to think about this guy who looks like a defensive end but has been able to figure out the game of baseball and has really, really taken off. And you know, from what you hear, his personality is what makes him even transcend more. Because they, you know, when you're talking about somebody who they say could be the next Jeter in the sense of a personality, now you're talking about greatness.
Well, JP, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask you anyway. Who was the guy who you played with who hit the ball like the hardest?
I mean, I would say Eddie Encarnacion. Edwin Encarnacion, watching his batting practice, he was a guy, I mean, who hit the ball as far as anybody else. And when he hit the ball hard, it was very impressive. I mean, Jose has some serious bat speed, and he's a guy who can hit the ball hard, but definitely Eddie Encarnacion. And even, honestly, you know, Adrian Beltre was a guy who, watching him hit the ball, and Prince Fielder, these guys in batting practice, they would hit some absolute bombs and you know, kind of would make me not feel as good. But, you know, sometimes hard hit in batting practice doesn't usually translate to home runs.
With J.P. Arencibia, former Blue Jay, currently doing analysis work with MLB on TuneIn here on Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. There was some buzz coming out of the game last night, courtesy of Carlos Correa, who was not happy with Roberto Osuna. And I guess he was claiming that Osuna was kind of showing him up or was pimping the final out. I didn't see anything. Like, I didn't see where he was going with this. I'm not sure why he has this beef. I'm pretty sure you've seen the replay. You saw the final out last night. Do you see where Correa was going with this?
Yeah, listen, pitchers do a lot of stuff. And you know, hitters always get the bad rap of they're going to toss the bat, and they sit there and they look at it, and everybody gets, you know, upset. You know, baseball, the one thing that's funny, it's more patty cake. Most of the time, it's more of a patty cake situation. You never see guys kind of go after it. And the one thing is hitters always get the attention. Pitchers do stuff all the time, okay? And I'm not that I have a problem with it, but I actually liked what Correa said was, hey, don't let me hit a home run off you next time. Because, yeah, I mean, he hits the ball back to him, no big deal. He catches the ball. He tries to be, you know, cool. He's a young dude. It's part of it. If I'm a closer, I'm going to taste myself too. I mean, I'm one of the better guys in the league. I'm an all-star now, so I feel good about myself, and I'm going to do that. That's fine, but also understand, and that's where Correa was upset, was like, hey, that's cool. You can punk me, but if I take you deep, I'm going to punk you. And I don't have a problem with that because, again, and that's where I think too many guys are sensitive about this stuff, is pitchers that struck me out enough times and stared me down after they struck me out that I wanted to punch him in the face. And so I was like, all right, I can't punch him in the face, so if I take him deep, I'm going to let him know about it. And that's kind of the way you can get back at him.
What's the worst time that happened? Like, is there one that you remember?
Man, not really necessarily that there was one. I mean, listen, guys, you used to see Grilly when he walks off the mound and he was going nuts and fist pumping and all these. I mean, pitchers get fired up when they punch you out, big situation. You know, I think Papelbon was a guy who used to kind of stand out to me, that he was, you know, he would do some stuff that he tried to be super intimidating, which I used to laugh because I was like, it doesn't make a difference. But if I take you deep, I'm going to pimp it. Unfortunately, I never had to take him deep. But, you know, those are guys that kind of strike you out and strut and let you know about it.
See, here's the thing. Like, Grilly was flamboyant about it. He wasn't hiding anything. You know, Stroman has some of that in him as well. I mean, he'll openly walk down the line and kind of stare at someone, or he'll start shouting a lot of times maybe at himself. But I think he understands that he's shouting loud enough that the batter's going to hear it too. The Osuna stuff, though, and other moments like that, it feels like it's almost open to interpretation. You know, like if you're in a bad mood and you just gave up the final out, you're looking for the pitcher to supply you with a problem. Like, that's what it felt like to me last night, JP. Like, how often would you, in the moment, be like, this guy's showing me up, I don't like it, then you'd go back and look at the tape and say, oh, no, that actually didn't happen?
Well, I mean, I don't know about the showing up part. I mean, did he pimp the ground ball in the sense of, yeah, the ball got hit back at him, catch it and throw it to the first baseman instead of, you know, kind of pimp walk the first base and then throw the ball? Like, was that done? Yeah. Do I think it's showing him up? No, I think it's just it's part of entertainment. I mean, baseball players are entertainers at the end of the day. People come to pay to watch you and to be entertained. And so I don't necessarily have a problem. Maybe he was a little bit upset because they had just lost or whatever. And you don't know the history prior to that. But again, for me, okay, you're not happy about it. That's cool. The good thing about baseball is they're going to face each other again. And he's going to have an opportunity to, you know, either take him deep or not take him deep. And if Ozuna punches him out, I bet you Ozuna's going to strut around and do his thing too. So, I mean, it is for an interpretation. There's a lot more sensitive people in the world right now. So anything you do, in a sense, somebody's going to have an issue with it. I don't have an issue with it. My thing is, hey, you can punk me. You can do whatever you want. But if I get you, I'm going to punk you. And that's about it.
With JPR and Sebia, I'm hoping this develops into just a gong show all weekend. That's what I'm looking for tonight. I want retaliation that leads to dugouts clearing. I'm all for confrontation. And believe me, the Jays, because we're in the bubble and we focus on them more than any other team, it feels like the Jays get into it more than anyone else. They have more issues and more beefs throughout the league than anyone else. Does it feel that way to you in terms of the Jays' reputation league-wide?
Yeah, I mean, we used to get it. We used to get it a lot, and too, we used to get it with the umpires. I mean, obviously, you can't fight the umpires, but, you know, Bautista and a few of the guys that, you know, were very vocal in the way they go about their business at the plate and kind of, you know. But listen, that's the game. I think Stroman makes a lot of hitters mad. A lot of guys, you know, don't like the way Stroman does things. But if you don't like it, again, there's a lot of ways to handle it. And I do agree with you. I think too many people talk about it and not do things. If you have a problem with the dude and you're a pitcher and the guy, I mean, drill him. Like, drill the guy. And what I loved was Bryce Harper, where, you know, he gets hit. You know the guy did it on purpose, and he answered the bell. And now people are going to be a little bit more hesitant to throw at Bryce Harper because they know that he's not going to just put his bat down and walk to first base. They might have to deal with some stuff. So I'm with you. I'm all about this. You want to do some stuff, we can get after it. That's part of it. And I do think that for the Jays, maybe that'll help them out with get them going as far as in a path of, you know, just up and not up and then down a few, then up and then down a few more. Just because as of right now, and I, you know where my heart lays, they definitely don't have any opportunity to just continue to flutter around. They need to get going, and they need to be able to, open ground.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, they're still five games under 500. They've won three in a row against good teams, but they need a lot more, including going into tonight and the rest of the weekend and certainly coming out of the All-Star game. He is JPR and Sebia, former Blue Jay and current analyst with MLB on TuneIn. Always appreciate the takes and the time. Thank you for doing this, JP.
You got it, man. Anytime.
JPR and Sebia.
He was bringing it.
He always does. Yeah, he's a fun guest. And he can tell us what it's like to be inside the game. I mean, he saw it the way you did. As a batter, he basically suggested that if he were Correa, he'd have the same impression. But I didn't see it as, again, flamboyantly showing someone up.
No.
Like when Grilly does the fist pump yelling, that is very blatant.
Yeah.
You know exactly what he's doing. But Ozuna caught it, walked it over, threw it, ball game.
No, you forgot the pause. He paused.
So how is he supposed to make Correa feel good about the situation?
Get it done quick.
Fire it to smoke.
Yeah, end the game.
Risk a throwing error because he's got to be so fast to make sure that Correa's feelings aren't hurt.
I don't think so. You can bet if Correa goes deep tonight.
Well, it's not going to be off Ozuna, though. I don't think Ozuna's not going to pitch tonight.
Doesn't matter.
He might. I mean, Correa's a great player. Four-game sweep of Houston would send quite the ripple effect throughout the league. Like that would put them into the All-Star break at 6-0. They're not going to sweep Houston. They're not winning all three here. But 3 out of 4, after taking 2 out of 3 at Yankee Stadium, you could at least feel positive about yourself going into the All-Star break.
Who do you think their biggest X factor for that kind of thing would be?
In terms of
turning it around.
Well,
I guess it has to be Donaldson.
Yeah, I think Donaldson over the past 2 years has always been the guy who has represented the way they wanted to play. He was always the spark plug. He was always the guy that set the table. For sure. He's got to return to MVP caliber, Josh Donaldson. The bats have to get significantly better. Their bats have been awful. And he would be the first choice, but you obviously need a lot more than that.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say he goes on like a 3 week, just tears it up, a month. Would you start like actually looking around and seeing what's out there in a trade for him?
I think it's a moot point because I don't think they're going to do it.
No.
No. And just based on what Shapiro said to Scotty Mack yesterday, I don't see it happening. I think they're
going to. But again, what is he supposed to say? Remember, not what they say isn't necessarily what they do.
Right, and it's all, and he caught himself though. He did save himself some grace there as well. Some ability to change the direction they take the team. He said, you know, you can never say never, it's not an impossibility, but he doesn't picture a scenario where you trade Josh Donaldson and your team gets better because he's still thinking about the here and now, and he's certainly thinking about 2018. And banking on them regrouping as a team and acknowledging, yeah, they're probably a little too old. They can rectify that or try to rectify that. They ran into crazy injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Age.
Again.
That's part of it.
Well, and that's their own doing.
But if you go into 2018, he is free agent 1 year, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't like having you waited too long for a team that's probably not getting better?
They could trade him in the offseason.
Less value.
Not necessarily for a guy. Like, the trade deadline deals for guys of that caliber don't generally happen.
Yeah, it's true.
That's the kind of stuff that usually the dust settles. You get more teams involved. It's not only the top four or five teams. The Jays would have maybe more leverage at that particular time. But I don't get the impression like they're really thinking of trading Donaldson. I don't think they will, regardless of how well he plays or how poorly he plays.
Would you look at it?
If you're going scorched earth, you have to. You have to trade him.
But can't you do both?
I don't think retooling on the fly, it makes sense to trade Donaldson. He's your best player. If you're retooling on the fly, you trade Bautista at the deadline, you trade Estrada at the deadline.
But that doesn't get you good stuff.
Yeah, but if you're trading Donaldson, you're talking about prospects. You're talking about guys who will help you 3-4 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a retool. That's a blow-up rebuild. That's a Houston. That's a Cubs. That's a Maple Leafs to an extent. That is, we're going to be awful, so expect 65 wins a year from now. And we're going to commit to being awful. They're not going to do that. So if you want to retool, which in other words, you want to have your cake and eat it too, you want to replenish the farm system, you want to get younger, but you also want to stay competitive, I think Donaldson's a guy who's got to stick around in order for you to truly sell that that's going to work and that's what's going to happen. Because if you're a fan of this team and they trade Donaldson, how can you expect them to sell to you that they're actually still going to be a good team or that they're going to be a good team next year?
But I don't think they're going to be. Well, I guess they could be. They could just be this. They'll probably just be this.
But if they are, then they're not a good team. This isn't a good team. They're 5 games under 500.
But they're right in the mix, sort of.
4.5 out of a wild card spot.
I know.
That's so, not well, the pursuit
you're
you want.
You're not selling me. Like, well, I don't know why you. I don't know.
Well, Jonas,
I don't know why you keep it.
Okay, then you're saying you would blow it up. Is that what you're suggesting?
I don't know. I'd maybe try to do both. I don't know.
But I'm saying if you want to do, you can't do both.
You can. Of course you can. Why not?
How can you blow it up, scorched earth, awful, we're all about youth and all about prospects, but also keep older superstar players or older players and try to win?
Because
you can't.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I try to trade him, get some prospects and stuff back.
And expect still, to continue to be a good team?
Still be sort of good, not as good.
Obviously. But what's the point of being sort of good?
Because that's what they are right now with him.
But that wasn't their intention. They didn't think they were going to be sort of good. They thought they could be competitive.
But they're in that boat now. And he's 1 year from leaving.
So you would trade him?
Yeah, I'd probably look at it.
All right.
I'd look at it at the least.
Well,
that's their
everyone
job.
Would look at it. Well, I would look at doing everything. Of course. There's nothing wrong with that, but looking at it doesn't mean you're committed
to
it.
Yeah, and if somebody gives me an interesting package, I
would probably take it.
But that's the package, though. The context of the package is important.
Of course.
Because if it's a couple of prospects who are in low A ball who you expect to be really good.
Mm-hmm. Like this Beretta like that if, just came up for Oakland.
If you got the equivalent of Bo Bichette and Vladdy Guerrero Jr. from
home
another
run,
team.
Take it.
You would take it.
Of course.
Even though those kids are a year, two, three from playing. They're 19 years old. You have no idea if they're ever going to make it.
Slam dunk. Take it.
And that
you
means
wouldn't?
You're a significantly worse team right now. I'm saying it's based on what your plan is. If I'm going scorched earth, I would do that in a heartbeat. I would trade Donaldson in a heartbeat.
I just don't know how this team is going to get better next year. Troy Tulowitzki isn't getting younger. Jose Bautista isn't getting younger. Kendrick Morales, like, same thing. These guys are not trending up.
Well, like I'm saying, though, you're hoping that injuries don't factor in the way that they did this year.
But forget about injuries.
You have another offseason where you can maybe move pieces one way or another and maybe bring in different pieces.
I don't know who that is.
Well, I can't give you answers right now either. I mean, that would have to be in November or December.
Who's getting better? Like your pitching staff, there's some guys getting better.
Sanchez, Stroman, Osuna continues to grow.
Devin Travis, if he stays healthy.
Travis, if he stays healthy.
Who else?
Maybe Pilar, if you feel like there's more of a ceiling there.
I think we know what Pilar is.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know where this, like, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
Where, if that's the case, if you think they're going to be awful anyway, then why don't you just say it, commit that you would blow it up and be awful?
That's probably what I would do.
Okay, there you go. Future headlines brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza. We'll get into it. We'll also let you hear what Bruce Arthur had to say about Kyle Lowry leading up to free agency. A very interesting quote/report out of Bruce. We'll touch on that next. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Milwaukee's been a real surprise this year. They continue to play well. They're at Yankee Stadium tonight. They're paying 280. I'll take the Brewers. I'm on Boston tonight, and I'll take Cleveland home plus over the Tigers. Throw down 20. You can score 118. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So Kyle Lowry made it official today, signing that 3-year, $100 million deal. And the Players Tribune piece came out earlier this week about how it just always felt right that he was going to come back to Toronto. This was home. Toronto was dragging him back. He believes Toronto's the greatest city in the world, saying all the right things, which you support. You're a fan of saying the right things, Jonas.
Wow.
Take that into consideration.
Okay.
Right? And then consider what Bruce Arthur of the Star had to tell us earlier this afternoon.
Up until the Friday afternoon before free agency opened, Kyle Lowry was trying to get somewhere else. Was telling other teams that he wanted to play somewhere else. He settled for this because there was nowhere else to go.
How does that make you feel about what Lowry had to say today, what he
I
wrote in the
that.
Players Tribune?
Well, no, I didn't know that fact.
Like Bruce is reporting, up until the Friday before it opened. So on July 1, it was go time in the NBA.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think he was willing to go elsewhere?
I don't think he felt like he could win here. I'm not sure he felt great about the setup. I mean, Kyle's a guy who he can be self-destructive. He's a guy who can cause himself problems just based on his attitude, his mood swings, and he gets into it with coaches and GMs and with teammates. And he's been here long enough where maybe he feels like he's not wanted. Or
I think
he's...
you're forgetting one big thing. Money. If somebody else was going to give him 4 years, he would be somewhere else, right? And now they paid him more than fairly, giving him, I think, 90 plus incentives for more.
So you think he would have been leaving simply because of the money?
Money slash what you mentioned, a chance to win. But I just don't know where that place would have been.
See, I think the Toronto angle would come in here.
What part of
I think there's a part of him who thinks, I don't know if I fit here. I don't know if this is going to work for me.
I don't know his subconscious. I'm sure that
just based on the way Kyle has acted over his 5 years, the reports that come out, and I trust Bruce's reporting that he wasn't happy with
There's
everything at the end of
go.
The year. But that's the point. You're right. Money factors into that. But I do believe there would have been another team that would have given him this kind of a contract. Like we mentioned the Knicks earlier this afternoon. They just gave Hardaway Jr. $71 million in an offer sheet.
Do you want to go to the Knicks or do you want to come back to the Raptors?
But if it's all about money, you go wherever the money is. I do think there's a chance, a very good chance, in my opinion, one of these teams in the NBA, a team that you don't want to play for because they're brutal, probably would have been willing to give Kyle Lowry a substantial amount of money.
I'm not sure about that.
But the teams that he wanted to go to, the teams that would have really given him a chance to thrive and win, those teams weren't looking at Kyle Lowry. Those teams weren't there. So he kind of had to come back because the Raptors, even though I don't believe they can truly compete for a title, they're a good team.
I'm sure he knows that.
Borderline very good team. And he's been a big catalyst in all that.
But don't you think that's fair what he's doing? Like, if you're a free agent,
He's allowed to do whatever he wants. He's allowed to talk to anybody. If he wanted to walk, he could have walked. But the PR spin afterwards about how, this was always it, and I was never really thinking about it, that doesn't jive with what Bruce is saying. Bruce is reporting, based on his sources, that he and his reps were telling other teams, please give us something here where I can walk away from this.
So if you were running his PR, you would have told him not to do the Players Tribune piece? Or just not gush?
I don't think it's
like
about not telling a guy not to do something or not say something. But, and ultimately, is it harmless or illegal or anything? It's
in the end, what do we care?
It's like, not, but it's also, it's just disingenuous.
Yeah.
So can you not call a guy to the carpet for not just calling a spade a spade?
But you would be calling him to the carpet if he acknowledged the actual reality of it. That, like, if he was telling the truth, you'd say, like, I was hoping more teams would be interested. I hope that there would be more spots for point guards of my caliber, but they all kind of closed up. This was the only place that I could come back to and still have a chance to win 50 games. I know Toronto. I know Masai. I know Dwayne. I know DeMar. Okay.
But that's the truth.
I know, but that's not...
No, I know. I'm not saying I would ever expect a guy to do that, but that is kind of how I feel about the situation.
Sure.
Now, even with that being the case, it doesn't matter how any of these guys feel, anyone involved in the organization feels on July 7th. How are you going to feel and perform as of mid-April 2018? Because that's when it's really going to matter. That's when you're actually going to have an opportunity to change the reputation of the franchise. It'll be playoff time.
But you made the best point. He's just not suddenly going to become a different guy all of a sudden at age 31. Can they change the postseason narrative? Yeah. That would be... like, if there's one thing I was trying to do when I was Kyle Lowry, that would be it. And I'm sure he wanted to do it this year. Like, it's not like for lack of
He's been
of
in
want.
The league for 10 years. He's 31.
But he was in some weird situations before.
But how much of that was putting himself in that spot?
He played on teams that had a lot of good point guards. So he didn't get to play. And
Houston,
he's like a little bit.
Memphis?
They did. They had like Dragic. They had a bunch of guys at one time who I can't name at
Jonas,
the time. Memphis had Mike Conley, who's like, it's the
They
same
drafted
ballpark.
Conley. Yeah, he was younger than Kyle. But
Houston
he's a,
had like
he's a
three
two or three time All Star.
Now. Anyway.
But he still had the same potential at the time.
That's
it was on him to break through.
That's opportunity is a big thing in sports. You can go to your future headlines.
Is that a demand?
Well, sure.
All right. Hit the music, Mullen.
I think his dad will invariably settle down once his son is drafted and a team has the appropriate discussions with him.
Or...
Big Baller Brand in the house! Not only is he the face of the Big Baller Brand, but the face of the Lakers!
Or
Josh Donaldson with a two-run home run here at the top of the first.
Or
we'll get there. We'll get on a roll. It's just maybe if anything to shut you guys up.
Overdrive future headlines.
Future headlines brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza. Tweet us at Overdrive 1050 or text us 105050. Your most outrageous future headline every Friday for your chance to win free pizza, courtesy of 2-for-1 Pizza. And the big winner this week sent in this future headline, and it pertains to the game tonight. Aaron Sanchez is dominant tonight, returning to Cy Young form against the Astros. Or Sanchez struggles out of the gate coming off the DL, leaving the game early with blister issues.
I'll take that he comes back and looks like his normal self. The problem is, like, he's made five starts. And it's been an issue continually. And this kind of thing seems to just keep bubbling up.
So. That's the problem with this future headlines. I can't predict blister issues tonight, but I don't see him coming out and throwing like seven scoreless, racking up 10 Ks and looking like a Cy Young candidate. I don't see that happening, but I think it's more likely than this guy runs into issues again. I think they've waited long enough. Right, like the first two stints were frustrating. It sounds like he kind of rushed back. He wanted to be a part of the rotation for obvious reasons. This past blister issue and this past DL stint, he was like, I'm out of here. And he's been gone for what, 6 weeks? Five, 6 weeks?
Yeah, May 19.
Almost 2 months.
And that last start, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. Like, that's what I could see.
Yeah. And listen, they'll take it against this Astros offense. Mm-hmm. You'll take that every day of the week. Vince Carter retires after his final season in Sacramento, or after a decent season with the Kings, Vince follows the lead of Yarmer Yager and announces he wants to play until his mid-40s.
I'm going to guess that this is it for Vince. The time in Memphis, I thought that would actually be the end, but he was actually like semi-effective. I think he'll probably be effective again in that role in Sacramento. Maybe you should get him back here for like a last lap with the Raps.
What a way to go out with the illustrious Sacramento Kings. How Vince Carter is that? Have you seen the teams he's played for throughout his career?
He's bounced around a lot.
Not one big market, not one, you know, quality. He's been on some good
Toronto
teams.
Toronto is a big market.
Not basketball market. It's not on the map. It's not the Jersey? Celtics, the Lakers, the Bulls. Even San Antonio in the 21st
you
century.
You still can't get over him leaving, it sounds like. You still
no, I
have
admit
that.
To that. I haven't given him a pass.
Yeah, you're one of those guys who is mad that that people gave him a round of applause, right?
Yeah, kind of.
What if they put a statue out front of ACC?
I think that would be a gross, gross injustice to any true Raptor fan.
Wow. He put the Raptors on the map.
No, he didn't. Like, I love this. He put him on the map. What the hell does that mean?
He won a dunk contest before he was here.
Okay. And then when he left, how did he leave him? Like, for everyone
that
says...
It's not his fault Rob Babcock made that trade.
But he demanded that Rob Babcock make a trade. And that
doesn't mean you have to do it.
That's always the counter, though. It is when the guy is like, I'm not dunking anymore. I'm not doing... He bailed on the team. Did he... Okay, even if I grant you he put him on the map,
yeah.
What would you suggest he did when he demanded a trade and quit on them? Did he take them off the map?
He did not help them. But he
so you gotta
he is not the GM.
Apply
Don't make
both.
The trade.
You gotta apply both.
Don't make the trade. The trade, like if that trade brought back actually good pieces, useful pieces, you would think differently.
I'm not exonerating Rob Babcock, but Vince forced it. Vince demanded out, essentially. I don't care what these recent stories suggest, that's not actually what happened. I lived it. We all lived it. He bailed on the team. He quit on the team. That's what happened. But I kind of feel like he's going to keep playing.
Really?
I think he's just a freak. He is a freak.
He looks the exact same now as he did when
he's just going to keep playing. I think he'll play at least another year after this one. And he'll probably go from like Sacramento to some other team that no one really cares about. all right, future headlines continuing. The rookie development camp is ongoing down at the MasterCard Center. Timothy Liljegren will be in the Leafs lineup to kick off the 2018-2019 season. Or, after a year back in Europe, Shanahan and company decide it's in Liljegren's best interest to spend a season with the Marlies before finally making it to the NHL.
I would say the latter. I would say it's more likely that he probably spends a year extra developing because he's still really young. They're going to be a position at that point. Who knows what's going to happen this year, but they will be contending for a cup. I'm not sure that they will be that spot for a teenager. I don't know.
I feel like he's got a couple years of development.
Yeah, that's
I think
fine.
That's for the most part the way they were planning on doing it with all their players until Matthews.
They're exceptions to the rule.
Were exceptions to the rule. Nylander had 2 years. He went back to Europe the first year. The next year, he came back and was with the Marlies. Could Liljegren at some point in the 2019 or 2018-2019 season, like at the end of the year, come up if he's really lighting up the American Hockey League or there's injuries? Yeah, that could potentially happen. But opening night in 16 months? No, I don't see that. I don't see that happening. Emotions run high following the Correa-Osuna controversy as the dugouts clear multiple times over the weekend. Or Correa downplays his comments from Thursday night, therefore diffusing the situation and allowing the two teams to focus on just playing baseball.
Emotions intensify.
You think it'll get crazy this weekend?
Yeah. All it takes is one somebody on the Astros throwing behind Batista, someone on the Jays throwing behind Altuve, and suddenly we're going.
I think you're right, because I think the Jays love this. I think the Jays, at the very least, they don't back down from it. They don't try to talk themselves out of anything. And I've got no problem with that.
Well, and Asuna, I don't think we'll pitch tonight, because I think yesterday was three in a row. Mm-hmm. But if he comes back on the weekend.
But at that point, if he comes in, it's such a high-pressure time, he's not going to be involved in it. Osuna's not going to come in with a save situation in the ninth and bean someone to send a message.
Yeah, but he could be facing Correa, and Correa could take him deep.
Right, but so what, you think he'd take him deep, pimp the home run, and then the dugouts could clear? That seems like a very specific thought. But I'm kind of with you. I feel like the Jays are fine with embracing the hate and kind of pushing the emotions. I think it could happen. The Toronto Raptors will make it to the NBA Finals at least once during this upcoming three-year window that Masai talked about, or the Raptors will continue to fall and fail against the Cavaliers or any other superior team in the East over the next 3 years.
I'm going to say it happens.
You think they're going to get to the finals at least
once? Here's where I think it could happen. I think LeBron could go west. I'm not as sold on the Celtics as everybody else. Philly is in that mix, but they're young. It takes maybe a little bit of time. I think 1 year it could break just right. Maybe it's next year. Not this year.
Not this coming year, but the one after that.
Yeah, maybe LeBron goes to the Lakers.
What if LeBron stays in the East?
Well,
like, not even Cleveland. What if he goes to Philly, or he signs in Boston, goes to Washington?
Well, then obviously it's not going to happen.
I don't see the Raptors in the finals.
Okay.
That is, I just don't think they're, I don't think there's, I think, you know, it's difficult to say, like, project 3 years down the road. I think there'll be a playoff team for the next 3 years. I think there'll be a competitive team, maybe have home court to start each round or the first round of each
sucks.
Year. It does, but the Raptors, they don't have a big three. They don't have a big one. Like, they don't have a superior player.
They have two really good players.
Not one of these guys is a guy that you.
David's so. Boston doesn't have that guy either, unless you think Isaiah Thomas is.
No, I don't think he necessarily is.
So,
but
LeBron.
LeBron, who's to say, again, more things don't happen over the next couple of years. Guys do come east. What if Durant opts out and decides to come east?
That's not happening.
Like, all this kind of stuff is possible. So I find it hard to believe based on what they have. And this team, this core, has shown us that they haven't been able to do it. They're also not very good playoff performers.
Yeah, I probably should have factored that in.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. I'd love to see it happen. Because I'm a Toronto guy, Jonas.
Look at your shirt.
Yep. Rocking the Maple Leaf shirt, and you're not happy about it. Journalistic integrity. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to our three stars, wrap up a busy afternoon, keep teeing up what should be a fun weekend with the Jays and the Astros going at it. Tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Jonas, we survived another afternoon. Your hot takes, they were scorching at times, but I found a way to avoid the heat.
Go and dance with your Toronto Maple Leaf shirt on your time off.
I will. This is a new Toronto Maple Leaf jersey.
I can tell. Here, it's got the fresh logo.
Absolutely, man. You got a problem with that?
No. You bought in. That's fine.
I'm not a bandwagon guy. I've been following this team for a long, long time.
Are you still president of the Nazem Kadri fan club? Or is that now?
30 goals. A couple Selke votes. Why would I be jumping ship now?
Did we find out who gave him those Selke votes?
No, I don't know who it was. He deserved every one, though, Jonas. All right, buddy. Well, thank you for doing this.
Have a good week off.
I'm intending on doing just that. I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road. Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press. We're out of here. I'm off for a week. I'm back in a couple of Mondays at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.